Therefore, UNESCO is committed in this general resolution. It also requests the specialized agencies and appropriate subsidiary bodies of the United Nations to lend their utmost support in providing such assistance as may be requested by the Unified Command through the Secretary General for the relief and support of the civilian population of Korea, and invites governments, members of the United Nations, the Secretary General, and appropriate non-governmental organizations, of which your own National Student Association is one, particularly those in consultative status with the Economic and Social Council, to assist in developing among the peoples of the world the fullest possible understanding of and support for the action of the United Nations in Korea, and request the Secretary General to seek on behalf of the Council the cooperation of the specialized agencies as appropriate for this purpose. I read all this formal and somewhat legalistic language to have us all understand clearly that everything we are doing in the United States National Commission and through our membership in the Commission and through all the cooperating governmental and non-governmental agencies is not something that we have said, well, we ought to do. We have been asked formally by the United Nations, by the Security Council, by Mr. Austin, by the Economic and Social Council to do all these things and to associate with us all our friends and related agencies and organizations. Sometimes it's fun to do things that are pre-legal or extra-legal, but we can't have that particular enjoyment in this issue. I am proud to say, as a matter of fact, that the U.S. National Commission for UNESCO did not wait to be told what to do about the Korean crisis. The Executive Committee of the U.S. Commission happened to be meeting in Washington on July 21st and 22nd, 1950, and it saw the Korean conflict as an act of aggression designed to destroy the power of the United Nations. It sends the beginning of a series of such acts designed to weaken the will and cut down the resources of free peoples. But I must say we were rather relieved when all these other organizations, a few days and a few weeks later, did come through and give us these official documents. I'm not going to read the first part of the resolution adopted by the U.S. National Commission in its executive committee, which consists of an analysis of the Korean situation, of the steps which you have seen in the various papers of the State Department and of the United Nations, but I will skip to the part in which they say what they feel UNESCO should do. The Executive Committee of the U.S. National Commission recommends, in view of these considerations, these crisis considerations, that the Executive Board of UNESCO meet immediately and take appropriate and vigorous action with respect to the impact of the Korean situation on the peace of the world and in regard to other areas where acts of aggression may occur. I think that second part is extremely important. And then it suggests that the Board consider the following items: the adoption of a strong statement of support for the action of the United Nations, the possible convening of an emergency session of the General Conference of UNESCO, a concentration of UNESCO's resources on these crisis problems, even though it takes money and staff and time away from some of the more long-time projects, such as fundamental education, and using mass communications, conferences, cooperation with national commissions, non-governmental associations, etc., for a unified common front in UNESCO in support of the United Nations. And then we had a second resolution in which we give this, you might say, as assignment one to our new U.S. Activities Committee in the U.S. Commission. And that is a very distinguished committee indeed, headed by Paul Sheets of the University of California at Los Angeles. And they will have a meeting in a few days, I believe next week, in order to wind up the machinery, as it were, for a complete United States attack upon the problems at stake. In short, UNESCO unsure of itself a few months ago, still suffering from the aches and pains of infancy, has suddenly been thrown into the thick of things. There's reluctance in the Latin and European components of UNESCO. There is the inevitable inertia of a secretariat geared to a slower pace. As a matter of fact, they're just coming back from their vacation, and they didn't like the idea, in some cases, of redoing all their plans for the next 6 months or the next year. But for the United States, while men are dying, time is telescoped into a single element, now. UNESCO has this in common with the armed forces of the United Nations. If it fails now, the next time, things will be worse. What could not be seen when Japan took Manchuria, when Italy beat down Ethiopia and Hitler marched, is seen now. The time to stop an open, contemptuous, murderous assault upon a peaceful people is at the beginning. UNESCO, fumbling for a big issue, has found it in the inescapable choice its adherents must make. It is a choice between resistance and appeasement. The United Nations, 53 nations strong at least, has rejected a Munich-type peace that, with deadly certainty, would not last our time. An hour ago, a message from the State Department, airmail special delivery, in which it gave me the present words on what the executive board of UNESCO had just completed up to yesterday in its meetings in Paris. On the 24th of August, at the time the meeting was about to take up, Mr. Trigvi Lee, Secretary General of the United Nations, wrote to Torres Brodet, and I shall quote two or three paragraphs, because here again we have a direct connection between the proposed actions or aims of this special emergency board meeting and what the United Nations wanted done. I might say that the whole idea of a special meeting of the executive board originated in this executive meeting in Washington of the U.S. National Commission. But Luther Evans, who is the American representative on the executive board, is also a member of the Executive Committee of the U.S. National Commission. And he has good ears, and he was listening. We do not give any instructions to our American member, but he sits in our meetings, and then he goes and takes his own advice, as it were, and asks for certain action. And he thought at the end of our sessions that it was imperative that the executive board be called together in order to act on this Korean crisis. He sent around a few telegrams and cables, and within a few days got 10 other members of the 18-member board to support him. So the official request for an emergency meeting that went to Dr. Torres Brodet, that went to Count Jassini, the chairman of the board, concurrently, was signed by 10 members of the board. And as I say, Trigvi Lee liked the idea, although we didn't know that in advance, and he wrote to Mr. Torres Brodet on August 24th as follows. Our primary purpose in sending you this note is to record my position that a very considerable and important role can be played by UNESCO in connection with the Korean question without in any way impairing the fundamental role of UNESCO in world affairs. With each passing week, it becomes more obvious that the peoples of the world are in need of information and education with regard to the United Nations action in Korea. A straightforward statement of the facts through the media available to you would represent a major contribution. There's a vast job to be done in educational circles, and UNESCO will be playing a very vital role if it can effectively inform these circles. Mr. Cohen, who's Assistant Director General, who went over with Mr. Luther Evans for this meeting as an observer, Mr. Cohen will explain to you that we have discovered a similar need among the armed forces in Korea, and I have taken steps to make available to the armed forces highly competent personnel thoroughly acquainted with the United Nations to assist the Unified Command in acquainting the armed forces in Korea with the aims and purposes of the United Nations, and especially with the nature of the action being taken in Korea. He goes on to say that he hopes that UNESCO will take a strong line and build up an effective program. There again, I think it's quite important to notice what happened. I said the Latin countries, to some extent, and one or two other European groups are rather reluctant to take any vigorous action through UNESCO in behalf of the Korean crisis, in behalf of the United Nations position. I could have said, of course, that three or four nations, such as the satellite nations of Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and Poland, which are members of UNESCO, are completely opposed to any such action, while Yugoslavia stands off, and one or two other countries at the beginning, such as India, were not so sure that UNESCO could take hold of this tiger, as it were, by the tail, and survive as an international organization trying to bridge the gap, trying to settle a controversy. But I think it has become clear, and it's clear now in these resolutions that have come today from the executive board, that they have resolved all such conflicts. And they have decided that you cannot do business with an aggressor who doesn't want to do business except through armed force, who walks out when the discussion becomes warm, and who, while he remains in the meeting, and I know this is true of UNESCO, and you heard what Mr. Warren said about the United Nations, will not stick to the truth, will not consider the intentions or the will or the power of all the forces of the others, what we call majority rule, but insist upon a certain line taken in advance, stuck to, and never at any point retreated from. That's not a sentence, but you can pick up the verb. Now, we know what we're up against, and I must say these resolutions are most reassuring coming from the 18-member board of UNESCO, because I was somewhat afraid, and some of us were in the U.S. National Commission, that with the satellite nations represented, the two or three reluctant dragons in the middle, as it were, wondering what the next military steps or the next military obligations might be, that we might possibly not get a full majority out of 18. With three or four voting against and two or three abstentions, it becomes a doubtful issue. But they have come through with some very formal resolutions, and at the end of it, Sir Luther Evans reports to the United States State Department for their information that all these actions were taken unanimously. I think, therefore, that we can say that so far as UNESCO is concerned, and this will go down through all the channels and out to all the cooperating organizations, all the affiliated memberships, such as your own, and become a policy. That doesn't solve very much. It merely clears our minds. What we now have to do, as I see it, having got a clear mind and a clear conscience, now what we have to do, all of us taken together, is to discover how to make this program of information and understanding really available to tens and hundreds of millions of people.